So I want to say good morning to everybody. This is week four of our How Do You Turn a Setback into a Comeback? And everybody in this room has or will again experience some setbacks, especially 2020. This year, COVID-19 seems to set everybody back on their heels a little bit. Lost jobs, maybe due or not due to COVID-19, has been an issue. Maybe you've got a health crisis going on in your life, and that's kind of set you back. Maybe there's some marital things going on, and that's kind of set you back. Maybe it's some choices that you've made years ago or either recently, or maybe it's some choices that other people have made and it's affecting your life. So what we're doing is we're going through here and we're asking the hard question, how do you turn a setback into a comeback? Because you're going to be there. It's going to happen. And so we're going to find the answer, and we're going to look into the Bible, into the life of Joseph. We're not talking about Joseph, the husband of Mary, New Testament. We're not talking about Jesus' mom. What we're talking about Joseph, the son of Jacob, in the book of Genesis. So that's where we're going to be spending our time this morning, in the book of Genesis. And the reason that I'm going to use Joseph, the reason I want to talk about this, the son of Jacob, is for our example today that we're going to look at and talking about setbacks, is because Joseph had in this Bible 14 chapters of examples of setbacks. And so when we kind of sit around and we complain about our lives a little bit, Joseph had 14 chapters. I mean, Genesis 37 to chapter 50. And it's like, my gosh, this guy, he's got to be getting tired of this. And so when I looked at that and I was reading this, you know, I thought, well, we could go ahead and tackle those 14 chapters this morning if everybody's okay with that. But I'm afraid we wouldn't, we'd probably set you back for lunch. We wouldn't quite make it, and I'm not sure any of you would come back for dinner. Yeah, see what I did there? So this morning, we're going to do things just a little bit different. We're going to kind of change things up just a little bit this morning. And what I'm going to do is the first thing we're going to do, we're going to start out with the talking points. I'm going to give you all of them. Instead of going through, I'm going to give you all of them. You can write them down if you're a note taker. Just kind of keep them in your mind. But we're going to talk about the points first. And what we're talking about is not just things that we've thought up or thought that would be real good. We're talking about biblical solutions. What we're talking about here on these situations, we're talking about, how God deals with setbacks in our lives, how he uses them, and the setbacks that, maybe they were choices that you made or something. Maybe they were setbacks that choices other people made and they've affected your life and just recently or maybe all of your life or something. It really doesn't make any difference on that. God uses them to turn them around back into comebacks. So today, what I want to show you are three different ways that Joseph dealt with his own personal setbacks. This is the Bible is given to us so that we can look at it, so that we can have understanding, so that we can see examples of how lives should live. So we're going to look at Joseph and his own personal setbacks, and then we're going to finish with how do we apply them to our life? What does this look like when I do that? You know, how do we apply them to the life that I'm living today in COVID 2020 or COVID-19 or wherever, wherever you're at today? So one of the things that Joseph, that he navigates these trials and everything, is number one, he trusted in God's presence. You remember the verse that he says, God said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. He said, I'm never going to leave you. In the good times when everything's going great, God's there. In the bad times when things are really, really bad and we think that he's not there, God says, I'm there. He says, I'm never going to leave you. And that's what Joseph did too. And also what Joseph did is that he trusted in God's plan. The Bible tells us, God said, he says, for I know the plans I have for you. I see what's going on, and I know I've got a plan for you, and it's going to work out. He's not just kind of juggling things and everything. He says, I know the plans. That means he understands them. He set up the plans. And then also in number three, he trusted in God's promises. He trusted in God's promises. In his lifetime back then, the Lord had spoke to his family and had said that I will bless you and I will multiply you. I'm going to build a great nation with you. I'm going to work everything through your family. So Joseph trusted in this. He trusted in God's presence. He's always with us, always. He trusted in God's plan. I don't know it. I don't get it. I don't understand it. But it's God's plan for my life, and I'm going to follow it. And he trusted in God's promise that I'm going to bless your life. There's going to be life in the middle of this, but he says, I'm going to bless your life. But the one thing that we need to understand today, the one thing that we need to look at today, the one thing that we need to grasp in all of this today is your setbacks are stepping stones to your comebacks. Your setbacks are stepping stones to your comebacks if you trust God. You know, and then if you trust God, those stepping stones, your setbacks are just like little stepping stones. It's kind of like that game of life, the board game. It's kind of like that. You roll the dice, you move forward, and you just move forward one square at a time. And it's kind of the same thing with God. These stepping stones, he's going to lead you back to where God wants you to be. He's going to take you back to where he wants you to be, in his presence, in his glory within, in his plan, in his promises, he's going to lead you back there. And it's kind of one step at a time. And sometimes it doesn't move quick enough for us. Sometimes we don't understand how we do that. But if we do that and if we trust in God, we can use those stones. If we try it on our own, sometimes we end up between a rock and a hard place. So what we're going to look at, the story of Joseph, how God took him, used his life. He took him from being a prisoner, being thrown in a pit, you know the story, to being a prince and number two guy in the palace. So Joseph became the second most important, powerful man in the world. And he was at one time in a pit and he was at one time a slave. And if you ask me, that's one of the greatest comebacks in history. So let's follow his steps. Like a look in the book of Genesis. That's where we're going to be at. And I want to give you a little bit of background before we get too far into this. God's promise was to a man named Abraham. He said, come out of the country and I'm going to send you out and I'm going to bless you. He said, I'm going to make a great nation. It's going to be through your family. So Abram had a son. His son's name was Isaac. And Isaac had a son, and his name was Jacob. And then he got in like a wrestling match with God, and God kind of put a little catch in his hip and everything. And he said, now we're going to call you Israel. So he had Israel. And so now Jacob, this is where we're at today right now, looking at Jacob, he had 12 sons. And so when you think about it, it's like, this is going to be a really great opportunity for some setbacks, you know. 12 sons. He had 12 sons, and check this out. It was from 4 different women. Now, this is getting kind of confusing. Things are getting a little bit mixed up here. Things are getting a little bit complicated in this relationship. And you would kind of expect that to happen. In a situation like this, you'd expect there to be some complications, you know, in a blended family of 12 boys and 4 moms. And we'd be like, whose weekend is it? Is it yours or is it mine? You know, well, I got it this weekend. I have to take these kids over this way. There's got to be a bunch of issues there. There's got to be a bunch of stepping stones to navigate that, to keep that thing, to keep peace in the family. And so inside of those 12 sons, the second to the youngest, which was just like the baby of the family almost, but the second to the youngest was Joseph. And so we're heading our way. We're going to Genesis. We're going to go to chapter 37. And Joseph, while you're looking for that, Joseph, he was a young kid. He was a teenager at this time. Good-looking kid. That's what the Bible says. He's a good-looking kid. But he was kind of a dreamer by nature. And his dad, Jacob, he pampered him. And I don't know, I thought that was the firstborn, but I guess maybe it's the lastborn, or maybe it's even the second to the lastborn. But he pampered him. And therefore, his brothers hated him. And so you can see the challenges in this family. You can see the dynamics in all of this, how it was supposed to work together. And so there were five major setbacks in Joseph's life, and God used them to get Joseph to where he needed him. Because see, understand this, setbacks don't come from God. He may hold you back. He may prevent you from going forward, but a setback isn't from God. It's just a setback could have been something that you did or something that somebody else did. But a setback is where God begins to use you and bring you forward to where he wants you, to where he needs you. So each one of these setbacks that he does, each one of those setbacks it's really just like a stepping stone. And you know that verse, Romans 8:28, it says, we know all things work together for the good. Well, if you let God help you, these stepping stones, they're going to take you back. And he eventually comes back and saves his whole family. So the first major setback is this. He was mistreated by his brothers. And when we think that, you know, you might be a little sister, you might be a big sister, you might be a big brother, you might be a little brother, but everybody can kind of relate to this. But this was pretty bad. It's in Genesis 37, verse 3. And it says, now Israel, that's Joseph's dad that he's talking about, loved Joseph more than any other of his sons because he was his son of his old age. And he made him a robe of many colors. And so as you're reading this, your Bible might say, he made him a multicolored robe. But probably what it was like, and a lot of the commentaries will say, it would have been more like one of those bedazzled coats that were pretty popular, back in the 70s, or maybe that was just me, but it was probably had like some jewels on it. And it did have a lot of colors, and it had a lot of silk and things like that, but it was probably had a lot of jewels. It was really ornamental. It had all these things hanging off of it. It was unlike any other coat that anybody had ever seen. And so Joseph, he gets this special coat. Not all the other kids, he gets his special coat because he was kind of a daddy's boy. And so in verse 4, it said, and when the brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, it says they hated him and could not speak peacefully to him. So now Joseph had a dream, and when he had told it to his brothers, they hated him even more. And when we talk about sometimes words don't quite make sense in the Bible, this word hate, it means hate. It means they despised him. They didn't care for him at all. And so some of you probably around here, you may have grew up in a family like that, where you were kind of pushed around, where maybe you were the youngest one, where maybe you didn't get everything, where maybe you got the handouts and stuff, or maybe you were rejected. Maybe you were teased. Maybe you were mistreated in the family. Maybe you were always felt to feel inferior in the family from everybody else. And life growing up, it was tough. It was challenging. When you think back at your childhood, it's like, I don't have that many happy memories in it. But did you know that God can use that pain in your life? And listen to this. He can use that pain in your life to ease the suffering of others. Because you know what it's like. You know how it feels. You can relate to that. So those stones that you used in your life to navigate you through that, maybe you can help somebody else in their life navigate through their life. Somebody that understands, somebody that understands it. God never wastes a good pain. And God, he can use a hurt to heal somebody else. So the second setback that he had is Joseph was tossed in a pit of rejection. Drop down to verse 18. It says, then they saw him from afar, and before he came near to them, it conspired against him to kill him. And they said to one another, here comes that dreamer. Come now, let us kill him and throw him into one of these pits. And then we will say that a fierce animal has devoured him, and we will see what becomes of his dreams then. So when you're looking at that, you think, man, that's pretty brutal. I mean, Joseph, he's just wanting to tag along. He's just got big brothers out there, and he wants to tag along. Maybe he wants to be like them. Maybe he doesn't. I don't know. But he just kind of wants to tag along, and they want to kill him. So it says then in verse 21, it says, but then Reuben, and I think Reuben's the oldest brother, but it says, but when Reuben heard that, he rescued him out of their hands, saying, let us not take his life. He says, don't let it, we don't want to kill him. And Reuben said to them, shed no blood, throw him into this pit here into the wilderness, but do not lay a hand on him. And it says that he might be rescue him out of their hand and restore him to his father. So what Reuben was trying to do, he says, let's not kill the guy. We want to do anything like that. Just throw him into one of these pits. He's going to die. And then what Reuben's plan was after everybody left, Reuben was going to come back. He's going to get Joseph out of there. He's going to save him. He's taking him home and give him to dad. But it says in verse 23, it says, but when Joseph came to his brothers, they stripped him of his robe, the robe of many colors that he wore, and they took him and threw him in the pit, and the pit was empty, and there was no water in it. So now Reuben's saying, don't kill him and everything, but they're thinking, okay, well, we're not going to kill him, but we're going to throw him in the pit, and we're just going to leave him in there. We're going to leave him in there to die. And so when you think about that, it's like, I mean, we've had some setbacks in our lives, but you think, this is a setback. His whole family has turned against him. His whole family has rejected him. Every one of his siblings have turned their back on him. And that's the most painful experience in life. When you get rejection, I mean, even if you're trying to apply for a job and somebody rejects you, it's just like, golly. Or maybe you're younger and you're trying to, talk to a girl at school or something like that and somebody rejects you. Or maybe you're trying to get into school and somebody rejects you, or some of the class or the popular kids reject you, or maybe you're trying to get into college and the college rejects you. It's a horrible thing. But imagine this. Imagine if your old family said, we don't have anything to do with you. We don't care for you. In fact, we don't even want you. We hate your guts. We want to see you dead. And when you think about that, maybe that happened. I hope nobody here has been thrown into a pit by their family. But you may have suffered the pit of despair. How did I end up in this place? How did I end up in this? I've been rejected by a spouse. I've been rejected by my children. I've been rejected by a parent. I mean, imagine the feelings of that. And I'm sure that Joseph felt the same way. So the third setback, he's going to lose his identity. So their plan is what they're going to do. They're going to throw him in there. Reuben says, no, don't throw him in there. We'll throw him in there and then we'll, he was going to come back and save him later. But they said, here's what we ought to do. He said, we're going to throw him in here in this pit. And then when the people come by, we're going to sell him. And we'll sell him in a slave. And then when we go back home, they're going to say, where's Joseph at? And we'll just tell dad that a lion ate him. So he's going to be taken away into this foreign country. Yeah, they're going to erase Joseph's identity because as far as everybody knows, he no longer exists. When they go back home, they're going to say, he's done. There's no more memory of him. He's going to be, he's not going to be doing anything else in his life. Everybody at home is going to think that he's dead. They're going to mourn him. They're going to weep for him and slowly forget about him. So they took his coat, they slaughtered a goat, they covered his coat with blood, they brought the evidence back to their dad and showed it to him. And so maybe you're sitting around today and maybe you feel like today that you've lost your identity. Maybe you're a husband. You're not anymore. You've lost your identity. Maybe you were a wife. Not anymore. You've lost your identity. Or maybe you had a position at work and now it's been taken away. Like, that was my job. And somebody's taken that from you. Maybe you've lost your rights as a parent. You can only see your kid on certain days. Maybe you've lost your rights as a grandparent. You can't see your children at all, your grandkids at all. Those are difficult setbacks. Those are hard. Those are challenging. And it could take years to get over them. But the good news is this is not the end of the story. It's not the end of the story for you, wherever you're at in your life today. And this is not the end of the story for Joseph either. But life goes on. Setback number four. He's forced to take a position that he doesn't want. He has to take a position that he doesn't want. Back in 1980, I went to work at the city, and I worked there for 10 years. leaning on the end of a shovel. And I decided after 10 years I wasn't going to do that anymore. I didn't want to dig ditches. I didn't want to lean on the shovel. 5 years later, I returned. He said, "Here's your shovel." And I had to start back where I was to begin with. We all have setbacks in our life. The job cutbacks in our life. The job market is challenging right now at the very least. Maybe your workload is doubled because of all this that's going on. You know, maybe you're back into the warehouse when they said, "We really need you, you know, to go back to the warehouse and take care of that," or back to wherever it might be. So one minute, Joseph, he's being pampered. Dad's giving him a brand new coat. He's looking good and everything. You know, he's feeling good about himself. He's having these dreams that's giving him good news, and everything sounds great. And then the next minute, he's in some other country. He's washing dishes. He's a slave. He's a slave in somebody else's home. So then if you go down to verse 36, and it says, meanwhile, the Midianites had sold him in Egypt to Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, the captain of the guards. So Joseph, there he is. He's living in this foreign country. He's forced to take a job that he doesn't want. He's working for a man that he doesn't even know. He's doing slave labor. He's not getting the same treatment that he did when he was at home. It's demeaning and difficult. And if it was me, I would think at this time, or by this time, I'd be shaking my fist at God. You know, what have I done? What have I done wrong? Why are you angry at me? Why are you doing this to me? But Joseph, in spite of all of that, he continues to trust in the Lord. And the Lord continues to bless him wherever he's at. So go to chapter 9, Genesis chapter 9. I'm going to start in verse 1. And it says, "Now Joseph had been brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, the captain of the guard, an Egyptian, who bought him from the Ishmaelites and who had brought him down here." So verse 2 says, "The Lord was with Joseph, and he became a successful man. And he was in the house of his Egyptian master. And his master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord caused all that he did to succeed in his hands. So Joseph found favor in the sight and attended him. And he made him overseer of his house and put him in charge of all that he had." He says, "From that time on, he made him overseer in his house and over all that he had. And the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. The blessings of the Lord was all on all that he had in the house and the field." And it says in verse 6, it says, "So he had left all that he had in Joseph's charge, and because of him, he had no concern about anything except for the food that he ate." So Joseph's in there, and he's doing the best that he can. He's working unto the Lord, and things are happening, and he's getting blessed. Now, he's still a slave, but he's living in somebody's house, and he's got food, and things are getting taken care of. So things are going a little bit better for him. And so if you're not looking, if you're not searching, sometimes these stepping stones are a little bit hard to find. They're really hard to see sometimes. And sometimes they're hard to recognize. And even sometimes they're hard to accept in our lives. You know, as you roll the dice, and then sometimes you move two steps forward and sometimes you move two steps backwards. But Joseph, wherever he was, whatever setback he was in, he kept his eyes on God, knowing that God had a plan for his life. He maybe didn't understand it, he maybe didn't see it, but God had a plan, and he knew that God had a purpose for his life. And just because we learned this last week, just because you can't see God's plan doesn't mean his plan isn't working. I mean, in our minds, we think, you know, it's not like winning the lottery. It's not like, okay, I don't have any money, now I do have money. I'm poor and now I'm rich. It's not like that. You know, it's the process of life's winning and losses that make us who we are today. It's the process of life's winning and losses that make us who we are today. One more setback. Number 5, his character is in question now. So verse 6, it says, "So he left all that he had in Joseph's charge, and because of that, he had no concern for anything except for the food that he ate." That's Potiphar. And so you would think, you know, it looked like Joseph's luck's about to change. Everything's going pretty good and everything. And now Joseph, he was handsome in form and appearance. And after a time, his master's wife cast her eyes on Joseph and she said, "Lie with me," but he refused. You know how we were talking about sometimes it's the choices of other people? So Joseph, he's obviously a man. He's a good character. It says, but she continued to pursue him. She continued to push. She continued to make advances at him. And then in verse 11, it says, but one day when he had went into the house to do the work and none of the other men were in the house, she caught him by his garment and said, "Lie with me." So she's aggressively forcing herself on him. So he runs from the house. He runs out of the house. He pulled his jacket off of him. He runs out of it, or his cloak off of him. He runs out of the house, and she starts screaming. She's accusing him of attacking her when it was really the other way around. And Potiphar, he throws him in prison to rot. Like, how dare you treat my wife like that? You know, his character is being questioned in that, and that he's actually doing the right thing. He's done nothing wrong. All he's done is just serve his master and do the best that he can. He showed integrity. He's doing the right thing. And in all of that, and even in serving the Lord, he gets thrown into prison. So for 13 years, it just seems like Joseph's life has been spiraling down and going down and going down and going down. And it's just one setback after another. He goes from the pit. Life was good. Next thing you know, he goes from the pit. Then he ends up, he's a slave. Now he's in prison. It's not really what you'd call upward mobility. It just seems like everything's going downward for him. He's having one setback after another. And none of these are his fault. It's a circumstance. It's just none of these are his fault. And he has one last hope. He meets this guy in prison. And this guy's getting ready to get out of prison. This guy's getting ready to go before the king and everything. So he said, when you get out, he says, don't forget about me. Give him a new word. Remind him that I've been down here. I've been down here for a long time. He says, don't forget about him. So if we go to chapter 40, verse 23, and it says, yet the chief cupbearer, which is the guy that's just getting ready to get out of prison, gets out. And he says, yet the chief cupbearer did not remember Joseph, but forgot him. You ever feel that way? Everybody's forgot about me. I'm sure that Joseph felt like all hope was lost. There's a story I pulled out of offline, a true story. December 17th, 1927, there was a submarine. It's up in the harbor and it hits us and they have a wreck with another boat and it sinks and everything. So they get these divers and they're going down there. And the divers, it's 1927. It's not the same equipment that they have today. So they go down to see survivors and they're kind of going up and down and everything. And they notice as they get close to the submarine, they could hear this little tapping, this pinging, this something from inside the submarine. And they finally figured out what was going on. It was Morse code. There were guys inside the little torpedo bins and they were tapping out Morse code. And the message said, is there hope? I can imagine that Joseph being in prison down there was wondering, is there hope? Maybe whatever's going on in your life, or maybe whatever's been going on in your life, your life situation, you might be asking that today. Is there hope? So the answer to the question brings us right back to the beginning of the study. There's three ways that Joseph was able to continue within the setback. It'd be so awesome if God would just pick us up and set us where he wants us. But he does, and he has these little stones that he helps us to get through. And there's three ways that Joseph was able to continue, which would eventually was going to lead him to God, and eventually lead him to the greatest comeback of all time. Is number one, trust in his presence. He's with you. And I know, and we go around, and I do it myself in my life. It's like, you know, God, the Lord is so good. He's blessing me and everything. And then when time gets tough, you know, it's like, God, I really need to cry out to God because maybe he can't hear me. Well, Joshua 1:9, it says this. He says, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed. It says, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And then last two words, wherever you go, it says the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. You're on the highest mountain. You're having a great time. It's a wonderful time. The Lord is with you. You're struggling and you're going through the valley and you're just confused and you don't know what's going on. The Lord is with you. He's there with you. He's with you all the time. Trust in his presence. Even if he doesn't feel like he's there, he's with you. Joseph also, he trusted in his plan. Guess what? God is for you. God's excited about you. He wants you to do well in your life. He wants you to be happy in life. He wants you to have the abundant life. So he's excited about you in this. Trust in his plan. Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for evil. He says, to give you a future and to give you hope. He says, I know about these plans. I've designed these plans. I want to give you hope in your life. I've made these just for, I'm for you. I'm excited about this. I'm excited to see how this works in your life. I want you to be a part of this. So trust in his plan. It's like, I don't know why I'm here. I don't know how I got here, but I know that God wants to take me somewhere else because he says, I have a future for you. Wherever you're at today, whatever your hole you're in, whatever pit you're in, wherever you're slaving at, he says, that's not it. God says, I have a future. I have a plan. You can't even imagine where I'm going to take you. He says, I have hope in that. And then lastly, trust in his promise. God is faithful. Hebrews 10:23 says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. When he says that, let us hold fast, it's like grasp onto it. Hold on to it so it doesn't get loose. Grab and just, you know, make that a part of you. Just hold on to it because he is faithful. And that is our hope. That it's like the Lord is with me all the time. His presence is with me. The Lord does have a plan for my life. And I don't see it and I don't understand and I don't get it, but he will be there because the Lord's promise is faithful. That when he says that, he'll be faithful. So as we close here, if I can give you any encouragement today, allow God to have control of your comebacks. Serve God where you're at. And let God take you where you're going. Let him take you to where his plan is. Let's pray. Lord, as we come before you this morning, we listen to your word, Lord, and we understand your word, and we pray, Lord, that it would be through your Holy Spirit that would help us remember your word. That in the valley, as we're going through the valley, Lord, that the Holy Spirit would remember that the Lord is with us. He is with us. He is walking with us. He has a plan for us, Lord. He has a future for us. We don't always know it, but we don't always understand it, but we can always trust in it. We thank you that. We thank you, Lord, for your Son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for us. He gave his life for us, Lord, so that we could return to you. And we know that glorious future awaits us in the future. We ask that you would just guide us, Lord, that you would protect us, Lord. And in Jesus' holy and precious name, they all said, amen. God bless.